Of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. Yada yada ki karanasya glanir bhavati parata tadatmanam shuchamiham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home after Godhead. Sarvadharma paritata mam ekam sharanam raja. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj expected that the Lord, by his kindness, would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. Translation: O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my conditional life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation of conditional life? Here, Prahlad is expressing his longing to meet the Lord. This is the type of prayer that one can offer. Sometimes we see Bhaktivinoda praying, when will I be able to fall next to the bank of the Ganga, thinking of Ramba. When will I be able to participate in the leaders of Radha and Krishna? So this is a type of prayer that the devotee makes to the Lord, and longing in separation from the Lord. Of course, we know that Prahlad actually has seen the Lord personally. The Lord has appeared before Prahlad because of his great devotion. And actually, Narasimha Dev is serving Prahlad by protecting him from Hiranyakasipu. So he's on the level of prema, and therefore the Supreme Lord surrenders to his devotee in this condition. However, from the point of view of the devotee, he's very humble, and he's always in this position of thinking himself highly unqualified, and therefore longs to get some association with the Lord. I'm thinking that will be a long time because I'm so unqualified. And so, in spite of the fact that the Lord is before him, Prahlad is praying, when will I get your the shelter of your lotus feet? Actually, he's already got the shelter of the Lord. The Lord's already protected him. But still, he thinks himself highly unqualified. So he longs for getting the mercy of the Lord. Now, in this verse, Prahlad is addressing our sin, and it was Kripana Vatsala. Vatsala, of course, means very merciful, very kind, compassionate. And Kripana means, sometimes Prabhupada translates as miser. Kripana. But not miser, just the one who likes to hold on to his money. Not that type of Kripana. But one who is very miserly concerning his efforts to serve the Supreme Lord. A very selfish person, not only in terms of money, but in terms of doing service for the Supreme Lord. So such a person from Kripana. So the Lord is actually very merciful, very affectionate towards even the most fallen persons in this material world. Vishnu Thakur already says that this. This is the supreme quality of the Lord, his vatsalya, or his compassion, his mercy. It is the inconceivable quality of Krishna. Among all his inconceivable qualities, his compassion. How he shows mercy to the fallen souls of the material world, even though they really don't deserve mercy. And when a fallen soul begins to serve the Lord is very affectionate to him. And when the fallen soul actually attains purification and reaches the highest stage of prema, and then that compassion shows no limits. And that is why the Supreme Lord, out of his vatsalya, or his love and affection for the devotee, he becomes a servant of the devotee. So this is inconceivable from the point of view, normal point of view, how God can become the servant. But it is out of this inconceivable affection for his devotee that the Lord does this. So though the Lord is great and all powerful, he becomes a servant. So we have many contradictions in the Lord's qualities. He is at once powerful, he is at once servant. And so this is considered his most wonderful quality, an inconceivable quality. So here Prahlad is addressing Narasimha Deva as most affectionate to the fallen souls of this world, including himself. In other words, Prahlad is calling himself a Prahlad. He is a miserable, selfish person in this material world. So he's calling out to the Supreme Lord, you are the most affectionate, the most unqualified materialist and atheist of this material world, including me. And therefore he's longing for his mercy by addressing the Lord as such. So the Prabhupada remarks in the purport, foolish people will deride the Lord, say, why do we live in this miserable condition? How is it possible that you're so merciful and you can let us suffer in this material world? How is it possible? And this is a common question that people ask. Once there was Prabhupada had a program in India, up north somewhere, and it was at one of these clubs like Lions Club or Rotary Club, where the people are not especially knowledgeable or spiritual or whatever. More like a social club. So Prabhupada spoke, and then people were asking questions. So one man stood up and said, oh, I've seen how this material world goes on. I've seen war, and I've seen how people kill each other so cruelly, people dying in war. How is this possible? Talking about the Supreme Lord, why doesn't he do anything about this? How is it possible the Lord allows this to happen? So I don't believe in the Supreme Lord, because all of this is happening. He should do something about it. So Prabhupada is very grave. And this is the condition of the living entity. He is on the ocean. Sometimes he's on the top of the wave, sometimes in the bottom. Up and down in the ocean like this. Sometimes he's in happiness and sometimes he's in distress. This is the condition of the living entity in this material world. And maybe you think you can do something about it. And you're at the top of the waves and accomplish something. You're going to go down also. And whether you believe the Lord or don't believe the Lord, you're going to go up and down in the material world like this, suffering and then doing something and getting a little relief going down like this. But this is the nature of the material world. You're going to be suffering then. You suffer. And don't blame the Lord for it either. Suffering is caused by our own condition, our own things. So this is what Prabhupada says. Actually, it's caused by karma. And karma, because it says karma be spakarma, by one's own karma. One becomes bound up in this material world and one suffers the samsara chakra. So it's we cannot blame the Lord for this material condition. It's only a reflection of our own miserable activities, that's all. So if there's problems in this material world, why we should blame God? We should blame ourselves for all this. So we see in material nature, animals are very, more or less peaceful. They fight, of course, they fight with each other. The birds are fighting with each other. But the dove does not fight the dove and kill him. The crow does not fight with other crows and kill the other crows. The dogs may fight and generally don't kill each other. So we see that the animals basically are pretty peaceful creatures in comparison to the human being. Because we always see human beings shooting each other, killing each other, and all sorts of strange things, which doesn't happen in the animal kingdom in general. So this is the misery that we have. Of course we can suffer natural catastrophes and animals will also suffer in that way. But as far as these other conditions, the most miserable conditions are the ones we find when we inflict pain upon ourselves, upon the human race. And this is caused by the human beings. It's not caused by the animal or anybody else. Not caused by God. Right? It's caused by ourselves. So human beings are the cause of their own problems. So of course it comes even a little bit more particular than that. If we are suffering in this material world, yes, it's caused by the human beings, not by the animals or the plants or whatever, but basically it's caused by our own previous activities. We're getting the result now in terms of karmas. So one who is intelligent will realize this, the suffering of the material world is simply in proportion to the suffering we cause others in the material world. This is the realization of an intelligent person. In other words, one who is intelligent will realize there are laws, higher laws at work in this material world. Not just the laws, physical laws, but there are moral laws also operating in this material world. And if we learn to follow those laws, then we can live peacefully. If we don't want to follow the laws, then we will live in misery. So therefore, the intelligent person will begin to understand this and act very carefully in this material world. Generally, when we're in some sort of tense situation, problem situation, we don't think too much. And instead, we simply develop some sort of emotion as a reaction to the condition. And then based on that, we do something. But we react to the situation, basically. That's what we do. And what is the reaction based on? Simply our likes and dislikes. In other words, based upon our attachments and repulsions. This is how we miss it. Which has got nothing to do with truth. It's only got to do with our own impressions of what is good and bad in general. What I like and what I don't like. That's all. So therefore, if we're in a bad position, then generally we don't like it. So therefore we suffer. And this is a misery, what we call misery. If we're in a bad condition, then we lament. Then we suffer. So this is generally what happens. Of course, we say that's natural in a bad position. We don't like it, therefore we suffer. However, the possibility is there for the human being to overcome his material conditions and even to control his reaction to the events around him. And that is exactly what the devotee has to do. And therefore, the Bhagavatam advises, we have to simply tolerate that condition. Don't lament. Krishna says, even in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, do not rejoice when you get happiness and do not lament when you get miserable condition. Be equal voice. Do not overjoy and do not lament. And you can summon all these conditions in the material world. And in Bhagavatam again, it was said that the devotee actually tolerates his material conditions, not reacting to them in the normal way. And he understands this is due to my vipava. My own sinful activities have caused this suffering. I created it. So he tolerates that situation, understanding it, not hating it, not suffering at all. Rather, he continues to serve the Lord and Krishna, understanding it's the Lord's mercy in some form or other. So that is what the devotee has to learn when he's put into a trying circumstance or a miserable circumstance, what we call a miserable circumstance. Then he has to be very careful to be very patient and tolerant of the situation. So here it says, Dusaha Bhukra Samsara Chakra. The wheel of samsara is, the terrible wheel of samsara is, it's very difficult to tolerate. We cannot tolerate it. It is so ferocious what will happen in this material world. Getting our birth in this material world, and we'll have to go through so many experiences. They're terrible experiences, very difficult to tolerate. Yet, this is all due to our own activities, and therefore we have to tolerate. Now the person in the material world will not want to tolerate, and they get very angry at his material condition. And then they may say there is no God, why do we have to believe in a God that does this to us? He doesn't want to tolerate the situation. Huh? The only way we can tolerate it is to understand that we've been responsible for it. It is like a person in prison. The person has done a crime, and he knows he's done a crime, and he's in the prison. Then he tolerates that situation of sitting in the prison. He'll tolerate it. If he doesn't accept that even if he did a crime, he doesn't really accept the punishment, then he will be very, very miserable, and he'll try to escape, and he'll try to do so many things. He'll fight with the prison wardens and everybody. He'll do all sorts of things, thinking that, why should he get punished for this crime? But one who accepts it, then he will simply tolerate that situation. Because I've done something wrong, that right, to pay for it this way. And so that is what the devotee operates. For the materialist, he will not tolerate this miserable condition. He will try to improve and do so many things to get out of this miserable condition of life. So these are the two approaches to the material world. The devotee tolerates the condition, understanding that it is by his own karma that he's bound up in this position. And the materialist, on the other hand, will not tolerate the situation. He's bound up by his karma, but he will fight like anything against this position. And ultimately what happens is he gets bound up more. He gets tied up more. This is the nature of bondage in the material world. Here it says one is bound up by one's own karmas. So we're bound up by our karmas, we can't really do that much. If we're tied up by our karmas, we're limited in what we can do. Yet, one who is unintelligent in that condition, he'll do activities which cause further bondage. Just like a person in the prison. He doesn't like it, therefore he does some act in the prison. He may try to escape. But then they'll throw him in further punishment because of that. So not only is he put in jail, but he gets worse punishment because he tries to do things in prison. Create further problems. So this is what happens in the material world. We're bound up by our karmas. We're suffering this way and that way. Then we do some activities to counteract that. Then we get more bondage. So, and then we suffer some more, then we get more, then we do activities again, and more bondage. And so we make our condition worse and worse in the material world. Until we become hopeless. Until we're a hopeless prisoner. After he gets in prison, there's so many bad things. It's useless. There's no possibility of getting one afterwards. In this very tamasic position. So that is what happens to the demons. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, these people who are the asuras, life after life they commit sinful activity, life after life they sink down into lower and lower bodies until they're no longer human being, no longer an animal, maybe a plant, in a hopeless condition. They no longer have any opportunity to act at all, so they become a plant and sit there. So this is the demonic association. So, Prahlad said, I'm in this demonic association. I'm among all the demons. But, why have I been put here? It's because of my karmas. So, commonly, I've been put into this condition by my karmas somehow. We're put into a miserable situation, this material world surrounded by other demons. And so, I've done something to create this situation. So, Prahlad, of course, is. He says, I am afraid of the situation. The materialist, of course, fights against the situation, does more activities, and creates more problems. Prahlada is very fearful of the situation of the material world. And therefore he prays for the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So he calls out to the Lord for help and asking, when will you call me to your lotus feet and give me shelter? This is a very polite way of applying to the Lord. Instead of saying, when are you going to appear before me? When are you going to give me mercy? When are you going to call me? So that, call me to your lotus feet. So the lotus feet here, the shelter is Kalpakavarga Sharanam. Sharana, of course, means shelter. Apavarga means that shelter which is free from material conditions, the formal conditions, which he's mentioned here, this Dusaha Ugra Samsara Chakra. The shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is free from all this. It is free from the bondage, it is free from the sinful activities, the sinful desires. It is free from the bad association of other demons. And this is the association of the Lord. Pavarga. Let us explain Pavarga. Pavarga means, Varga means a class. And in Sanskrit, alphabet, we have different vargas. We have the ka varga. Ka, ka, ga, ga. And we have the ta varga. Ta, ta, ga, ga. And na. And we have the pa varga. Pa, pa. Pa, pa, ma. These are different vargas. Pa varga, ta varga, ka varga. Chavar, cha cha, cha cha. The hardest. So we have a pavarga. Pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. So it's defined in Sanskrit, the meaning pavarga is that the different syllables will stand for different things. Pa, ba, 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 ma, ma for mrityu, death. Ba for bhaya, fear. And ba, there's ba. And fa for fena, fena means foam. So when you work hard, the foam comes out of your mouth. So it means excessive toil in this material world. And pa for parisram. Parisram means hard work, exhaustion. So in this way, we work hard, we get exhausted in this material world, we're full of fear, and we have death upon us. So this is a pavarga, material world. And apavarga means absence of all of these things. So the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, when we surrender to the Lord, then all of these things are absent. All the material conditions are absent. Material conditions, miseries are absent. So therefore, Papavarga Sharanam. So we surrender to the Supreme Lord under his shelter, then none of these problems are there. Of course, if we simply say that the miseries are not there, that is okay, but that is a liberation. Where we have absence of miseries. But the shelter of the lotus feet is actually more than that. It's not only the absence of miseries, death, but there's also something more than that. More than the absence of these bad things is, there is association with the Lord which causes bliss. There's activities in the spiritual world which cause bliss for the devotee. So, Apavarga, therefore, is not only the absence of the bad things, but also a higher level, means the bliss we get from serving the Supreme Lord and from the Lord serving the devotee. That is the higher aspect of it. So, Prahlad is praying for the association of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord and longing, when will you call me? When will I get your association? When will you be merciful to me to accept me at your lotus feet? This is the humble prayer of the devotee. Yeah? And deliver me from this samsara chakra, which of course is my own fault. I created the problem myself. But the devotee realizes that no matter how much effort he makes, even in terms of devotional service, ultimately the mercy of the Lord is necessary. Bhakti is not a self-endeavor. We have to endeavor, but at the same time, the mercy of the Lord is necessary. in the Vedanta Sutras, there is a story. The problem comes up, which is more prominent, mercy or effort? It also comes up in Christianity, which is more prominent. It also comes up in Sri Vaishnavism, mercy or effort. So if we get the mercy of the Lord or put our effort into it, which is more important? So in the Vedanta Sutras, the same question comes up, which is more prominent? Important, mercy or effort? So the conclusion is mercy. Not that we shouldn't do it, have effort, but the mercy is very important also. And without that mercy, even if you have effort, it doesn't matter. And sometimes without that, the also mercy is there. And you get the result. But usually it is effort and mercy, but necessary mercy has to be there. That is something coming from above, not only our own efforts, but there's something also pulling us on. There's a story to illustrate that also. There was it's from the Upanishads actually. There was a student, he was a Brahmachari, whatever, very faithful, he was serving the guru in the ashram, and the other students there also, and they were learning how to do sacrifice and worship the Lord and everything. And so they went through their full course, and then the other students went home, because they get married and have family, etc. And the course was finished. So they all departed. But this one person, he did not go home. He stayed with the teacher, and he studied further, and served the guru, went to get the firewood, just doing homas every day. This traditional Vedic society, homa every day. And he served for many years like this. All alone, everyone else left. He was there by himself, serving the guru. And the wife, the guru was married, and the wife also. And when he asked the guru, "Well, now you give me the highest knowledge. I know that you've taught so many things, but you've not given me the highest knowledge of God. And so you should tell me that now." And then the guru said, "Yes, I will tell you. But he served many years and nothing happened." And then the wife got worried and said, "You should tell him, because he's been serving you so many years. And he's, why not listen? He's expecting something, and you say yes, yes, but you don't give. So you can give him and satisfy him." And Nasman said, "Yes, I will give him the knowledge one day." And anyway, the student was very tolerant, and he stayed there for many years serving like this. I was expecting, but never gave. And finally, the wife said, "You have to tell him, because he served you so faithfully for so many years. He's very qualified, etc." And the husband said, "Yes, I will tell him, but now I have to go away. The king has called me for doing some sacrifice. King's court, so I have to go away." So he instructed that student, "You stay here, and afterwards I will tell you all about the highest realization of God, etc. But you have to do the yagya, so I'm gone. You should tend the fires, and you should do the homas regularly every day." So then he went away for some time. And the student began to follow the instruction very carefully. So he did the sacrifice every day, and he put the oblations in the right time, chanting mantras very dutifully. But as he was doing that, then he was thinking, how I can get this highest knowledge now. The teacher's gone away, and he's promising, never getting this knowledge. And he was thinking like that, and he was doing the sacrifice. And as he was offering oblations into the fire, then he looked up, and in the fire he saw these three luminous beings standing there in the fire. And he was shocked to see these beautiful beings like devas, shining and effulgent. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "We are devas. We have this knowledge. We know you want this knowledge, highest knowledge. We have this knowledge. Do you want it?" And then he said, "Yes. Can you teach me?" So then these devas taught him the highest knowledge of Brahman, or something, God. And when the lesson was over, then they said, "Now we're going to go away," and he disappeared. And so then he was satisfied. He was home up. And at that time, then, the teacher happened to return. He finished his duties with the king and everything, and he came back. And when he saw the student, then he said, "What has happened to you?" You're looking very effulgent. You're shining like a deva. What has happened to you? And then the student explained, I was doing the sacrifice and the devas appeared. They gave me this knowledge of highest Brahman that you had promised to teach. Everything. Huh? And then he told the whole story about the deva. And then he said, now you teach me. So, the moral of the story is going to Busan. Though he had learned the knowledge, nevertheless, he understood the etiquette was to go to the guru and get his mercy in order to actually get the value of that knowledge. Even though he had got something from him, it was effulgent and everything, but still, he understood that the etiquette was that one has to go through the guru in order to get that knowledge and get his mercy in order to make it perfect. So therefore, it's not useful. So he uses that story to illustrate the fact that mercy is more prominent than effort. We can get on our own, but nevertheless, mercy. And if we look in devotional service, we'll see that we have the Shraddha to Prema, the different Sarva Shraddha, Bhajanai Kriya, Anarki, Vritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Shakti, Bhava, Prema. But in there, effort is definitely important because we do Bhajanai Kriya. And we water the plant devotional service by. We are the gardener. Nobody else can grow the plant. We have to do the cultivating of the seed of bhakti, and we have to cultivate the plant and make it grow. So definitely we have to put effort into it. If the gardener is lazy, the plant won't grow. So the jiva is called the gardener. The devotee is the gardener, and the plant is the bhakti growing up and manifesting. Gravity for symptoms of the prana. So necessarily there is some effort necessary as we're doing the activities bhajana kriya. However, in this whole process, nevertheless, even though we do our activities, mercy is always necessary. So therefore sadhu sangha is always there at all stages. And we get mercy. So we say the mercy of Guru, the mercy of devotee, but actually it's the mercy of Krishna. Whatever mercy is in Guru or in devotee is actually the mercy of Krishna manifested only through a devotee, that's all. Whatever mercy is there is actually the mercy of Krishna that manifests through the devotees. This is how Krishna usually manifests his mercy. We have the Chaitya Guru, that is Paramatma in the heart. He is there to guide us. Is an external living of a guru, a devotee, an external. But even externally, those devotees are simply channeling the mercy of the Supreme Lord. It is the Lord's energy from the spiritual world that's coming through the devotee. So ultimately, the Lord's mercy is necessary for advancement, devotional service. You have to put forth that, yes, but the mercy is also to be there. And this will be advanced. So, even Prahlad is saying, yes, you have to call me. I can make effort, definitely, but you have to. Yes, you're the one that has to give mercy to me in order that I come to your shelter. So, he's putting himself in the correct position as a devotee. Any question here?
How would a devotee like, pure devotee like Prahlad, is bad karma that he had to go to the Jewish family?
What, the demon family?
Yes. How would a devotee like Prahlad had to go to the Jewish family, had to take birth in the Jewish family?
We should not think that a devotee like Prahlad has karmas. Like also the Pandavas, why do they have to suffer? Do they have karmas? Yeah, actually the Lord puts them into certain conditions to display, of course, the glory of the devotee and also to increase the attachment of the devotee and to manifest his own lilas. And so with a pure devotee to the Lord, we should not think that any of their what is called suffering is karmas. The devotee on his part, however, will think like that. This is my responsibility. I've done this. I've created this condition. I cannot blame the Lord for it. That's how the devotee feels.
And this thing that did not take place, did Bhuloka, somewhere else, isn't that there?
There seems to be a taking place in Bhuloka.
The Mother Earth was thrown away.
Hmm?
The Mother Earth was, thrown away by his brother. That.
Yeah, that was discovered by Varaha.
So they thrown out of here. So somewhere else he was acting with him.
No, Varaha restored the earth into its proper position again. After that, then, Pranikasapuha is leaving.
After the service, it was outside.
Yeah, and then that was restored. Where Pranikasapuha had his palace, of course, I don't know. He conquered the heavenly planets, all satisfied with it. But generally, they say that he has Leela on earth in Andhra Pradesh.
Talking about the mercy of the Lord, sometimes we see that we devotees find it difficult to take that shelter of devotees to get that mercy. That maybe it seems to come more directly rather than indirectly perceived, but that actually devotees around us are carrying it. So how can we actually better perceive and understand how to take of the shelter of
devotees? Well, that requires humility, I guess. One can only take mercy by putting oneself in a lower position. That is why we have what's called service and devotion. The mighty bodyguard serves the higher devotee, one on a higher level, that way he gets the mercy. Mm-hmm. And of course we see in Bhagavad Gita, it is one should be pranipashanapi, one should also have seva. So and one should have pranipa, one should surrender oneself. So in order to get mercy, in order to get knowledge, whatever, we have to put ourselves in a low position. Just like water flows from high to low. Some mercy also has to be in a low position. The right attitude has to be there. We have to be receptive to the mercy.
The demons who appear
in
Krishna's Lila, do they situation like John Vijay, etc., but others, are they appearing by Krishna's arrangements, or
are they really
the karma involved in the demon?
Like the mixture, sometimes they're personally Krishna's associates, like in the case of John Vijay. In other cases, they're just a few demons, that's all. Like even they've said that the Duryodhana's brothers were personifications of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga personified more. So then there was big demons, not able to the Lord, but there was big demons. And they were manifest in 100 forms like that. Devotees. So most cases like that, in special cases, Lord is going into that. But most of them are just demons.
There must be some special benediction in demons that have been killed or involved in the Lord's pastimes and been killed.
Yeah, the bigger demons are the ones that get the association of the Lord, get killed by him, and by that they get mukti, they get liberation for that. Of course, that's not considered very good as far as devotees are concerned, but it is some sort of reward for the demons that they do that. At least it stops them for some time from carrying on their bad activities. So they get some special reward for that, for contacting the Lord.
Is this more for the demons benefit, or is it relieving the distress of the devotees? Or
well, both. In other words, the Lord accomplished many things by one activity. So he relieves the world of the burden by killing them, and by liberating them, of course, he puts them out of action for quite a while. And it's a reward for them because they get a rest from their doing all the different activities for Tamasic state, you know, benefit from that, getting a little rest.
Only a pure soul can be near the Lord. Even these demons, they must be pure souls, they can't go near the Lord.
Well, the Lord allows that. When the Lord appears as avatar, it is possible. The Lord in the spiritual world, no demon can approach. No one can get into the spiritual world. When the Lord comes as avatar, and there's opportunity for even the demon to contact the Supreme Lord. By the contact, he becomes purified. By putting
when the Lord comes, the complete spiritual world comes.
Yeah. So he spiritualized everyone he contacts.
He would be dealing with the
situation. They are hopeless cases, so therefore, without their knowing it, they get spiritualized by fighting with them. That's a special mercy.